There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's catch up with some of the day's news stories from the UAE, and we'll start with seatbelts. Dubai police have seen a clear drop in the number of seatbelt-related violations in the first 7 months of this year. They reveal that in total there were 37,519 violations recorded in the first 7 months of this year, compared to 42,291 last year. Maria Boutros of the ARN News Centre is in the studio with us with more details. Good afternoon to you, Maria.
Hi. Hi, Claire. Hi, Sally.
Tell us a bit more about these latest findings from Dubai Police.
Okay, so as you've mentioned, there has been an evident drop in the number of seatbelt-related violations. Now, we see that when we compare the first months of this year with last... The first month of this year with last month, for instance. So in January, officials recorded 8,100 seatbelt-related offenses. But in July, for example, the number drops down to just 2,600 seatbelt violations. Now that's a big drop, and it's promising. It's an indication that motorists are gradually adopting good habits that will ensure their safety and the safety of passengers with them. That's also precisely what authorities are aiming to do in order to reduce the number of deaths caused by road hazards. Now, as some people already know, and a small reminder for others, the consequence for not wearing a seatbelt under the new law is a 400 dirham fine and 4 black points. Now, when we start thinking about what has contributed to the drop in numbers, I spoke to Thomas Edelman, the founder and managing director of Road Safety UAE, and he explains why we're seeing positive results.
The government announced the stiffer penalties in the new rules with regards to seatbelts for July. As a consequence, between March, pretty much beginning of March, and July, there was a lot of media coverage with regards to the new holistic seatbelt law. And I think the government did it quite smartly. They said, hey guys, listen, 1st of July is the deadline, and on 1st of July we're really getting serious and we will have the holistic seatbelt law in place, which will also mean that everybody in the vehicle must be buckled up. And we saw a lot of corporations, for example, getting ready and activating their ecosystem. They advised all the taxi drivers to make sure that everybody in the vehicle is wearing a seatbelt.
Now, it's not just about fining people, but rather educating them about why they need to be wearing seatbelts. Do we see people lacking that education?
The issue is that people underestimate the power of a seatbelt, if you want to put it that way, or if it's correct to put it that way. Some people, unfortunately, might not think that a belt can save their lives, potentially if they get into a serious accident. People don't realize that statistically, seatbelts save lives between 40 to 60% of the time. That's a huge number. And with children, that number goes up to 80%. Even if people do know it, some feel lazy to change their habits, and some just need time to adopt good safety habits, such as buckling up as soon as you enter the vehicle, like making that the first thing that you do. During my chat with Thomas, he spoke to me about a recent survey that they conducted with motorists, and he shared with me some of the shocking habits people have when it comes to putting on their seatbelts or buckling up.
He interviewed more than 1,000 people, which is a representative sample of the UAE demographics. And we found out that, for example, only 78% of drivers are always wearing the seatbelt. This number drops to 51% for Emirati. When you talk about the co-driver, so the people that are sitting next to the driver, overall, only 71% always wear the seatbelt. Most alarmingly, and that only 11% of backseat passengers admit to always wearing the seatbelt.
It's kind of worrying, isn't it, Maria? Do experts feel that the number of seatbelt violations will now continue to decrease? And will we see positive results in the future in light of this new law?
Yeah, surely we will. I just wanted to comment about something that was mentioned in the previous clip. Thomas Edelman was talking about how, there are certain people that don't buckle up, and we see that 78% don't. When we look at the even younger demographic, so children, babies, toddlers, the study found that 34% of parents do not have proper child restraint systems, as he put it, which includes car seats. 34% can just don't have a child seat for their children, and that's just shocking on its own. What's even more shocking is that the 64% that do have child seats, we see that 30% of them, don't always use them for their children in the vehicle. And he revealed that the reasoning provided was that, you know, child seats are so expensive, or children don't like to sit in the seats. Now, when you say that, do you feel like the number will continue to decrease and more people will abide by these rules? I mean, authorities across the country are actively working towards that, and they're actively working towards ensuring all motorists and their passengers are safe on the roads. If they weren't, they wouldn't have constantly adjusted the laws and issued fines to encourage people to adopt these road safety habits. Now, Thomas spoke about adopting these habits in an interesting manner. He said it's a cycle. So as a parent, if I do this, my child observes this habit and then therefore adopts it as well, and it grows up with them.
We think it is just the beginning of a trend. All of these communication efforts, all of these education efforts, they will pay off over time. These are habits that we are creating. Just think about the kids. When we start suddenly to buckle up our kids will understand it. They will get used to it. And then when our kids grow older, for them, it's a no-brainer. They will always use the seatbelts. So no, it is not a trend that will rub off. The opposite is true. It will manifest itself. It will cascade down in the population.
So that was Thomas Edelman there, who, I mean, let's be honest, has been outspoken for years on this. We finally see this law coming in about a month ago, which comes down very heavily, as you said, Maria. 4 black points, 400 dirhams. And not only that, if you're driving the car, you get fined as well if somebody else isn't buckled up in your car, of
course.
Exactly,
yes.
So it does seem like authorities are doing more. That's clear. But it seems like it's working.
Yes, it is. Definitely is. I mean, we see that, as mentioned earlier, we see that in January, we see 8,100 seatbelt-related violations, and then in July, 2,600, and hopefully this will continue to decrease.
I'm still amazed when I hear people go, the kid doesn't want to sit in the seat.
Yeah.
You know what? The kid isn't born wanting to sit into a seat and get strapped in. And so you kind of have to start from scratch. You have to teach your child to do it. And whether you've got to give them their favorite toy when they sit in the seat or whatever, or just say, we are not moving. The car cannot move until you buckle up and I buckle up and everybody buckles up. The car is not moving. We are not going anywhere. The kid gets the message.
Well, the child's not in charge, right?
Well, exactly. The child is not in charge, but it's about teaching them and getting them to understand. It's a habit. If you don't do it, like you said, like Thomas said, if you do not have that habit yourself, because to be honest, if I get into a car and I don't buckle up, I feel like something is very wrong. Like I know I've got to do it. It's a first thing mm-hmm. because that's something you train yourself to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, I grew up, we were small children, you know, in the 80s or whatever it was. But I guess it wasn't such a big deal back then. But then when, you know, you're in Australia and it's the law and people just do it, you just do it and then it becomes habit and then you cannot get into a car without doing it. It doesn't matter if you're moving the car down the driveway. I still feel like I need to put the seatbelt on just because it's habit, and that's how it works.
Exactly. And when you see that 34% of the 64% that do have, you know, car seats or child restraint systems, as Thomas put it, and they don't use them, I just don't feel like it's...
Well, that's crazy, isn't
it? Yeah,
it's
not a good enough excuse that my child doesn't want to sit in their seat for me to put their life at risk, you know.
It's like they become like a missile. You know, mm-hmm. Please, everybody, if you haven't already heard it, we had this a couple of weeks ago. We had Ben Bunk, who is a car seat expert. You know, he installs these things. He actually works a lot with Thomas as well, works with Thomas Edelman in terms of getting the awareness out there. And, you know, he's got all the stats. We did an extensive interview with him about if you don't know where to start, in terms of getting a car seat. Many people still don't, which is fine. But, you know, listen to that podcast. It is up on our page. I will share the link again, in fact, on our Facebook page to that podcast, because it's invaluable information. You're saving your children's life. That's just the bottom line.
It is as simple as that. It is as simple as that. You're right, Sally. Maria, thank you very much for updating us on those stats. Good to have you in. That's Maria Boutros there from the ARN News Centre with the latest from the police on the fight against people that don't wear seatbelts, and they seem to finally be winning it. Okay, we're just coming up to 20 past four, and we're also just coming up to the end of World Breastfeeding Week, and a new report from Sharjah says more than 150 establishments there are now accredited as mother and baby friendly. But what does that mean, and what do most companies here do? We'll be finding out next.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's Claire and Sally with you this evening, 4001, if you'd like to get in touch with the show. And Sally, quite a few people already coming online to comment on seatbelts. Of course, we've just heard that police have said they've seen a reduction in the amount of people that they are having to penalise for not wearing seatbelts. So therefore, hopefully we're seeing an increase in people wearing seatbelts. What are people saying?
Well, Bradley has texted in saying, where are these laws being enforced? I'm residing in Fujairah and see many children still unbuckled. More needs to be done outside of Dubai and Abu Dhabi and across the Northern Emirates here, he adds. You know what? Absolutely. But this is the beginning of the law. And I think as the awareness comes in and as the education comes in, hopefully we'll see more of that enforcement as well. Thanks for that, Bradley. Tarek, I love this. He says, I have a competition amongst my kids to remind everybody to wear seatbelts. That's brilliant, because you're kind of putting the kids in charge of reminding everyone, and then they feel like the responsibility, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want, isn't it?
We've all got to put on the seatbelts.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for your messages. Keep them coming in, of course, 4001 to talk about any of the topics we cover this evening. And in fact, well, you might want to comment on this one. The Sharjah Baby Friendly Office, that's an official body that oversees initiatives of the Sharjah Baby Friendly Emirate campaign, has revealed that 151 health facilities, workplaces and nurseries in Sharjah have now been accredited by the campaign. It aims to support mothers and their babies to ensure a healthy start in life through breastfeedings. Now, it does that by encouraging breastfeeding friendly policies across work, social and public venues, and it also trains and raises awareness of the issue. But while Sharjah is celebrating progress in this area, how is the rest of the UAE doing, and just how baby friendly are most workplaces? Joining us now on the line to thrash this one out is Cecile Descali. She's a midwife and educator from Malak Baby Centre. Good afternoon to you, Cecile.
Hi, Claire. Hi, Sally.
Great to have you with us. And it was really interesting to see this report from Sharjah, of course. And they have this whole Sharjah Baby Friendly Emirate campaign. Good on them. But how are we doing in general in the UAE when it comes to this issue of breastfeeding and there being enough places for women to do that?
I think actually Dubai is maybe not being as public about what they're doing, but we're certainly doing quite well. And when I go out and about, I'm one of those very sad people. I go to the different malls, and if I see a breastfeeding room, I go and have a look at what it's got in it. And I will say our malls are looking amazing with the breastfeeding rooms they're providing for our moms. They're very pleasant to be in. They're kept very clean. And they're very, as in obvious, not public as in people can see in them, but they're obvious for mothers who are looking for a room to go and breastfeed. So socially, in the public side, I think we're doing pretty well.
What about in workplaces, though, Cecile?
I think we're still struggling a bit there, and that's because I don't think companies are maybe made aware early enough of maybe a mother's needs. The job market is very, very much still male-dominated, and I think when women go on maternity leave, that is something they should be already addressing with their companies. There are a number of companies, don't mistake it, that are actually making these facilities, these rooms are available, and they don't have to be fancy or anything. They just need to be very basic, where a woman could actually lock the door and feel safe, so she doesn't have to feel that someone could walk in on her at any moment. Sitting in a glass office with a blind drawn across is not the most conducive to being able to express breast milk.
Cecile, I want to ask you, I mean, I've been to the malls and seen some of these gorgeous breastfeeding rooms. They've got the couch there. You know, there's a whole area where you can feel comfortable and just express if you need to, breastfeed if you need to. And that's great. You know, when we talk about a baby-friendly workplace, what does that actually look like? I mean, you talked about having a place to go and express milk if you need to, but is that it? Is that all that's needed?
Well, I think it would be lovely if big companies could actually even have maybe creches on their premises, but we're looking at quite a big expense and also the logistics and legalities of it. So that might be harder for companies to do. I think that's what a true baby-friendly place looks like, where a mom could go down when her baby needed her to breastfeed rather than have to go to a room, close the door and pump, which is really not that easy to do in some cases. But in the workplace, it's very unlikely in any country that women would be bringing babies to work as such. I do know some dads who are stay-at-home daddies and they take care of the little ones. And I do know of a couple of couples that actually dad brings baby in for a breastfeed. So, and the company's good with it.
Which is great. I mean, that's very forward thinking, I'm sure. But of course, if women go back to work after having a baby, it's already quite stressful to leave that baby for most mums. They then go back to work and there's not a facility to support them. What do you suggest they do? You touched on it earlier and said work with your employer, have conversations before you go on your maternity leave. What should they be asking the employer for so they don't get stuck in a broom cupboard as a breastfeeding room?
Definitely not to use the toilets to pump.
Yes.
There is an hour that is allocated by law for mothers that are still breastfeeding to be allowed to either take it off and go home early or to be able to express. And I also know that a lot of companies allow you to still go home early and take the time to express. But the mom needs a comfortable chair, a well-aired room with kind of, I'd say, pleasant surroundings, not just a box like cupboard thing. Where she can actually plug her pump in. She could leave her pump there, not have to take it backwards and forwards. She needs a fridge where she can store her milk. And even although that milk has to be used the next day to feed baby, it still makes sure it's actually kept safely. Just the time out to do it, not to be pressured into doing a meeting when they know she needs to go and pump.
Are you seeing, Cecile, a lot of these workplaces doing that, providing the fridge, providing the place, or do mums come back to you and say, look, this is not happening at my workplace, I'm not sure if I can go back?
Because I don't feel I've heard of any, Sally, have
yeah.
you?
No, to be honest, no.
No, not a lot. Bigger places, and it's taken a little bit of working with them, and the staff have pushed for it. That's why it is the mother who needs to start this. Sometimes that mum's the first person in that workplace to become pregnant and no one's even thought about it before. Sometimes it's a mum actually working for a construction firm with dominantly males and nobody's thought that that was a need before. And actually, I think if we bring it to the human resources department's attention, there's definitely a plan that can be made. But it does take us as mothers to initiate it, unfortunately.
Do you know, Cecile, that's a really good point that you make, actually. I'm reminded of a story from Sheryl Sandberg, who is the COO at Facebook, right? She's quite high up now. But she was working with Google when she became pregnant. And Google is always talked about as an ideal workplace and whatever. But at the time, it was quite a long walk from the car park to her workplace.
And where she was pumping.
And yes, and she had to bring the issue up to the people that she worked with. They hadn't even thought about it, you know.
No.
So it's quite likely, as you say, that the workplace, the people that you work with, the management, may have not actually considered what is necessary in that situation.
You know, and I think if we keep, like, talking like today, if we keep talking to mothers, we keep writing articles about it, we make people pay attention to it. And I think most companies would then be willing to pay attention. Better than lose the staff member, which they've invested time and money into, to her not returning to work, better to invest in a room where she can actually pump.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you so much, Cecile Descalli. That's really interesting to hear your thoughts on it. That's the end of World Breastfeeding Week, which fell today. And discussion on, how well we're doing here in the UAE. She says, not too bad.
Better
but workplaces could do better, Sally.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you, actually, if you have experience in terms of pumping milk in the workplace or breastfeeding or possibly one of your colleagues and the stories that they have had as well. Let us know if your workplace is baby friendly.
Yeah, and if you need any advice, you can look up Cecile. She's a midwife and educator from Malak Baby Centre.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.